Good morning. Welcome to the study of Word of God with Spring Valley Bible Church. I'm your pastor today, Phil McMillan, and the first thing we need to do is prepare for this morning's worship with prayer. Nothing we can say or do is worthwhile to God without His power. So search your souls, lay aside your guilt, self-obsession, and problems, and ask Him for the eyes and ears of God the Holy Spirit, so that all we say and do may edify this local body and glorify our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us one more Sunday in freedom that we can assemble together and look to your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that our souls would be convicted when all that you have to say in your precious word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we study today, we might remember these words in the coming week and be strengthened by your Spirit and able to spread the gospel that you have given us. And we ask all these things in Christ's name, sir. Amen. So, let's start this morning with a word of song.
Okay. Join us in turning to number 218. Song number 218 is "He Leadeth Me." Huh. And that note in the middle of the second line holds just a little bit longer than it's indicated in the hymnal. But the music, for some reason, holds it a little bit, about a half step more. "He Leadeth Me," 218.
Leadeth us indeed. Let's see. How it's so wonderful to be able to sing together, even if it's just a few of us here. Like I said, one day we're going to get a Follow the Bouncing Ball program and put it on the web so you can sing along at home if you don't have it. Let's see. Prayer requests and announcements. Please be in continuous prayers for Herman and Judith. Herman was supposed to get an MRI on his kidney this week. They were when he was in the hospital, they had done a CT scan and found something they wanted to look closer at on his kidney, and he was due to have that MRI on last Thursday, and there were some delays because of the COVID schedule at the hospital, and he wasn't able to get it then, and they don't have a new date for the MRI, so they're waiting and to see what's going to happen next, and we all know the waiting is the hardest part, and but he does continue in his therapy and is showing good progress in his reading, and Judith, of course, needs your prayer for comfort and patience, and I'm sure that it won't be too long before our faithful pastor returns to teach us the Word of God. Please keep the Wise and Dague households in your prayer for the Liberty Youth Ministry. You can check out what's going on with Liberty Youth Ministries at www.libertyyouthministries.com. Also, please keep Kit, Chris, and I in your prayers for teaching. We have a long list of cancer patients and sick people on our prayer list. If you don't get our prayer list, you can get access to it, to make a request to be added to the prayer list that Leslie so faithfully puts out every week through our website at www.springvalleybiblechurch.org. I'm sure Leslie is putting that information at the bottom of the Facebook feed right now as we go through. Let's see. We also have if you like snail mail, you can mail us a check. The address is there as well on the website. And you can always stop by here on a Sunday morning and say hello and drop off a check. Let's see. So most of all, let's pray for our country. There's no political solution. I keep telling you, we always wish that there's a wonder candidate, but there's no such thing. The only candidate that's going to help our country is one that relies on God the Holy Spirit. And if we had just one of those, probably wouldn't be enough because you got all those other yahoos in the government, right? So it's not going to take a leader as much as it's going to take leadership from each of us who hold that glorious gospel of Christ. We've got to spread the gospel of Christ wide and fast because it's only through it that God the Holy Spirit can work. Through God the Holy Spirit, we can have spiritual love and unity, and those are the things missing in our country today. Pray for the Spirit's work in revival and be a part of the Spirit's work in revival. So, those things in mind, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin our study today. Heavenly Father, we just, first of all, we want to lift up our country. We pray, Heavenly Father, indeed, for that work of revival in our country. We have a media that would deny your existence. We have a media that would do anything that they can to hide the work of your Spirit, Heavenly Father. But even so, we still see flashes of your grace and wonder in our troubled land as people boldly go forth with the gospel. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that God the Holy Spirit would replenish those efforts. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that through His power we might remain one nation under Thee. Heavenly Father, we pray for Herman and his recovery and for all those on our list that are having health issues. We pray for Johnny Thompson and his family, for Tish and her kidney issue. We pray for Autumn and Autumn Switzer and all those on our prayer list that are suffering problems. Heavenly Father, we pray for your healing hand and direction for their doctors that they might be fully employed in the service of your gospel. Heavenly Father, we lift up all these requests, knowing that you hold us in your gracious hand. And we pray that in all these situations, the peace of Christ would prevail, no matter what happens. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that through those petitions, your Son would be glorified. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Okay. Shall we start with this? And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the mystery of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rely on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. So we've taken the last few Sundays, three Sundays, I believe, to talk about our walk. First, we looked at some of the Greek words translated as walk, and we're going to look at a few more of those today. And we've seen that the Bible uses this concept to describe our purpose, intent, and manner that we conduct our lives. Our purpose is to glorify Christ. Our intent is to be filled with the Spirit. And our manner is to demonstrate Christ's love through the Spirit's fruits. This is our goal. This is the reason we were given the gospel, that we can glorify Christ through the work of His Spirit. Then we looked at the idea of walking in life, principally from the text of Romans chapter 6, about verse 3, which I'll read for you here. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in the newness of life. We were dead in this world of sin, and it was through the work of Christ that we were brought to life. And we are given the mandate to walk in that life, not act as the world would have us act, not say, oh, well, the Bible doesn't really mean that that's a sin. The Bible says that's a sin, that's a sin. And we have to understand that God has given us that mandate, whatever that sin might be that He's told you not to do, for our own benefit. And it's the restrictions, as we saw, of the law that tell us, that demonstrate to us that we are sinful and need His salvation. Walk as a person who has been raised from the death of this world. Last week we took a look at walking in light, and we made that we saw that division that we're born of this world. Our old sin nature is darkness, and we cannot produce light. We can, however, let God shine through us just as we entered. Our faith is the basis to let God use us. And we looked principally at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, from verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Don't walk in that world of darkness. Don't do the things this dark world says is okay. Don't be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the world. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Dark, no fruit, right? But instead, even expose them. Call sin, sin. Expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by those people in the darkness in secret. In secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk. And that's why we've been looking at walk. There's a warning for you right there. Be careful how you walk. Everybody has a desire to be liked in this world, right? And you don't want to get unfriended by posting something that is going to offend your unbeliever friends. And you don't want to stand for what's truth because you're going to hurt somebody's feelings and cause them to reject you or not like you, right? Well, they're walking in death. They're walking in darkness. And you're called to walk in light and life. You have to call a sin a sin. And you have to recognize when God the Holy Spirit is telling you something is sin in His Word. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Look at your lives. Evaluate your life in the eyes of God the Holy Spirit so that you know that you're producing His fruits or you're walking and producing the fruits of darkness. Okay? Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, redeeming your time. How many times did you see Herman imaginary washing his hands and telling you, redeem the time. You got to kill 2 minutes, say a prayer, right? Don't sing a silly song to time that or watch your clock. Pray for a couple of people on our prayer list. Pray for our youth ministry. Pray for someone. Use that 2 minutes to the glory of Christ. Because going before the throne of the Father is glorifying to His Son. You know that you're there because of His Son. And so it glorifies Him. So just the act of prayer is in itself redeeming the time, let alone the effects of those prayers, right? Who might you bless? How might you further the Word of God? Simply because you took 2 minutes, you bought that time, that dead time back, brought it to life, put it in the light, and redeemed it for eternal reward. Okay? So, redeem your time because the days are evil. And they're getting worse, it seems like. Like I said, we have a press and a media that wants us to believe, we're all going to be dead in a year from COVID and, that it's all our president's fault and that, all the financial ruin necessary because we don't want to all get killed from this virus, and I'm not so sure all of that is true. Okay, when you say that a church can't meet together, but you can have 500 people in a church for a funeral without masks, then there's a double standard going on there, right? And something isn't right when there's a double standard. What's good for the goose is gravy sauce for the gander. How does that thing go? Oh, yeah. Yeah. No double standards allowed is the upshot of that old phrase. Let's see. So make the days are evil. We've got to make the most of our time and spend all the time that we can aware of the fruits of the Spirit. They come about because we know we are saved. We have that peace and assurance of our eternal salvation. We know that it's given to us that we might walk in light. And we can withstand the evil of the day knowing, in peace, knowing that we are saved eternal. Even if it becomes so evil that they want to kill us. That they want to send the police in here to arrest us for assembling together. Or come to your house because you're watching this. They have your IP address, you know. And don't think you're safe just by staying at home. So, redeem the days because the days are redeem the time because the days are evil. Well, this morning, we're going to conclude our walk in the walk. And we're going to talk a little bit about walk in the Spirit. Of course, it's all walk in the Spirit, right? It's the Spirit that has resurrected you into the newness of life. It's the work of the Spirit that displays the light of Christ in your life. And it's that very idea of walk in the Spirit is indeed what we've been looking at the whole time, right? And I wanted to go through a few verses that we've seen, some of them we've seen before, some of them we haven't seen yet. And I want to review these Greek words that we've talked about. I originally said there were four, there are actually six. And We're going to see a few passages we haven't seen and some of these new words as we talk more about our walk in the Spirit. So the first verb we talked about was diercomai, D-E-E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I, for those of you who want to spell it. Oh, yeah. I forgot to warn you that this is Communion Sunday. At the end of our class, we will have communion. So if you are at home, you need to be prepared for communion coming up, okay?
Well, when you said warning, I thought that was going to be a quiz.
That's exactly what communion is. It's a quiz. It's a test to see how much you know about Christ and if you could concentrate on Him for a full 5.5 minutes while we do the communion. So I'm sure you'll pass. Don't worry. So, diercomai is just to pass through a place, right? Traveling through somewhere is diercomai. So it can mean to pass through a place or to take a journey. Or, and all of these words can physically mean walk, put one foot in front of another. Usually the difference between the six of them is the direction you're going as you walk, okay? And this one, has got, dia built into it, and that Greek preposition dia means to go through something, okay? So you pass through, that's diercomai. And though there's not that's probably one of the verses, words that we see the most in the New Testament, like 42 times we see a use of that basic verb diercomai. And it means always, it's always meaning just to travel from one place to another. The only spiritual application of diercomai is the fact that you are just passing through this earth. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, your citizenship is in heaven. You aren't part of this world anymore. You're just passing through, and you're going back to your home, which is face-to-face with the Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God forever. So, pass on through. Don't be worried about what's going on here. The second word that we saw for walk was orthopodeo. Ortho is like we get orthology from bone doctors, right? And to straighten out the bones, orthopedic, right? Orthopodeo is to walk straight. Podeo, your feet, keeping your feet straight, going right accordingly to a standard. To walk in a straight course, so metaphorically, to act upright. And this one is occurs once in Galatians 2:14, and it's in the NIV. It's not even translated as a verb. Galatians 2:14 says, "But when I saw they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in the presence of all, if you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like a Jew?" There's one of those crazy double standards again, right? So, where it says straightforward about the truth of the gospel, that's our verb there. And it means you aren't conducting yourself, uprightly. You're not keeping a straight course. Okay, if you say that if I'm a Jew and I tell you you've got to act like a Jew to be a Christian, but then I don't act like a Jew myself, then I haven't been straight. I've been kind of roundabout and crooked in my assessment of the Christian way of life for you. So when I saw that they were not walking straight about the truth of the gospel. Would have worked just perfectly in that verse. I don't know why they decided to say straightforward. The next verb that we looked at was peripateo, and this one is to walk, and it's used most probably one of the most common words for walk, put one foot in front of the other. But it is also used to talk about regulating one's life, conducting oneself. Self or to pass one's life, right? Peripateo is to walk around. So we're going to look at some verses with this word and see how we are to walk or conduct our lives in the Spirit. Colossians 2:6 Colossians 2:6, and you can look at that one if you would like. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Conduct yourselves in Him. Believers, we have gained this great gospel, this great grace that God has given us by the work of Christ. And we're to be occupied with that fantastic work all of our time. We're to understand the impact of that in our lives. And it's supposed to set our paths, our way in this world. We are not citizens here. We're just passing through. So let's live according to our destination as we walk, so that we can glorify Him, as we see here. Therefore, as you have received Jesus the Lord, Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted, and now being built up in Him and established in your faith. You are brought into God's plan in faith, and you live in God's plan by your faith. Just as you were instructed, that's what we've been telling you, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. You should be thankful for your salvation each and every day. You should give thanks to the Father for the work of the Son on your behalf. If you give God, if you truly are thankful for your salvation, you're going to remember that standard of light. You're going to remember to walk in life as you go through your day, right? And when that happens, people are going to notice it. Some people are going to notice it and not like it because it's a world of darkness, right? Some people are going to notice it and want it, and they're going to ask you about it, and you get the opportunity to spread the gospel in a positive manner, right? Those that are indicted by it, they may take a while. They may, you might give them the gospel and they want to hit you, but, God the Holy Spirit is going to take that information and it's going to gnaw on their soul, and they may be saved one day because you had the nerve to say, that's not right according to the Bible. I believe the Bible because it has told me about Christ who saved me. And I'm sure of my salvation, so I'm sure of that standard. Okay? You're grounded, rooted, and now you're being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, overflowing with gratitude. So, this is our walk in Him, in Christ. Ephesians 5:1, therefore, is the next verse we'll look at, Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Now, we did look at this one previously, read through this verse. You might be thinking, wait a second, Phil, you said the title was Walk in the Spirit. And just now you said Walk in Love, and just previously you were talking about Walk in Christ. Which one is it? Well, all of the above, my friends. It's power of God the Holy Spirit that makes you produce love. That's how you walk in love, is through relying on God the Holy Spirit. We are in Christ because God the Holy Spirit has secured us there from our simple act of faith. And all these things that we are going to produce because of our gratitude for Christ's work on our behalf, they come about from God the Holy Spirit being in us because of our belief in Christ. Walk in love just as Christ also loved you. What's His standard of love? They tell us, right? He gave Himself up for us. He hung on a cross for us. And the reason He did so was to be that lamb, that sacrificial lamb that has atoned for our sins. And that phrase, to God, a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma, means that sacrifice was acceptable to God the Father. And because of the work of Christ, we are imputed with God's righteousness. So, again in Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. The desire of the flesh, your lust pattern, whatever it may be, is going to manifest itself as long as you are not concentrating on the work of Christ and the power of His Spirit in your life. Either you're producing fruits or you're producing the desires of the flesh. And they're evident in your life. Friends and neighbors, you haven't got to memorize a verse. When you see yourself being mean and hateful, when you see yourself acting outside of God's plan for all humanity, you know that you're in sin. God, the Holy Spirit's tapping you on the shoulder and telling you those are your fruits of your flesh, not the fruits of the Spirit. That's when you have to remember your gratitude and want to correct yourself, get correct in your actions because of the work of Christ on your behalf. I say walk by the Spirit. At least we got the title in there. Walk by the Spirit, okay? And you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Again, we see peripateo in 2 Corinthians 12. Yeah, that's peripateo. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 7. Let's see. Actually, I want to turn to this one, 2 Corinthians 12, if I can do it without my Bible falling apart. I kind of like this part of the Bible, as you can tell. Pages coming out there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to pick it up in 6. For I do not wish to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I refrain from this, boasting, so that no one may credit me with more than he sees or hears from me. It's not me, it's God the Holy Spirit talking. And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, the things that he has seen and is teaching them. The surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Kind of got a taste of this week. My back is out and my leg is hurting all the way down to my foot. And I could hardly concentrate to study this week. And so I got to tell you, anything you hear wonderful out of me today is got to be God the Holy Spirit, because I couldn't muster much of it myself. So I kind of get his meaning here. It's hard to boast about something when you know you haven't got the power to sit in a chair for very long, okay? So that's why Paul was given this blessing of a thorn in the flesh, so that he might not get his eyes on himself, but know that it's God the Holy Spirit and not him. So, concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he has said to me, and he assured me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. When we know our weakness, when we see it in our own earthly existence, right? How much more then is our helplessness and our weakness before our Creator to demonstrate to Him our own righteousness and abilities and to glorify Him by our own means? It's impossible. And so when we are at our weakest, when we are hurting the most, and we are relying on God the Holy Spirit, we know then that it's not us, it's got to be Him. So, the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Because I'm relying on God the Holy Spirit. I see my own infirmity. I see the fact that I can't do it, and I have to have God the Holy Spirit. You have weaknesses in your life. You will be insulted for adhering to the standard of the Word of God. You will have distress because people hurl those insults at you. You will feel persecutions before our nation gets any better. We're on the cusp of that now. And you will have difficulties, not just because this is a mean old world, and it certainly is,
You will have difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then you will know that you are weak, and then you will know the strength of God in your life. I have become foolish. You yourselves compelled me. Actually, I should have been commended by you, for in no respect was I inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I'm a nobody. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles. For in what respect were you treated as inferior to the rest of the churches, except that I myself did not become a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. I should have become a burden to you. Right? Let's see. Here, Paul's got a great sense of humor. They don't bring that out enough in the normal translation, but Paul could really put a zinger in there when he wants to. I wish I'd have been a burden. Forgive me for not being a pain in you. Let's see. Forgive me this wrong. For this third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you, for I do not seek what is yours, but you for what is yours, but you for children are not responsible to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. He's the authority. They are his children in Christ because he has led them to him. He says if they don't want to support him, and he is indeed talking about financial support here, and we noted in Philippians, right, that he was so thankful to them for having sent financial support to him. But he said none of the other churches did that. He had to work for a living when he was in Corinth so that he'd have the opportunity, or was Ephesus, so that he, 3 years in Ephesus, he worked as a tent maker, right, to support himself so that he could teach the Word of God. And he said that's okay because he's the authority figure. He's responsible for them as his children in Christ, right? So he will do that gladly. And I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. If I love you the more, am I to be loved the less? But be that as it may, I did not burden you myself. Nevertheless, crafty fellow that I am, I took you in by deceit. Certainly, I have not taken advantage of you through any of those whom I have sent to you, have I? I urged Titus to go and sent the brother Timothy with him. Titus did not take advantage of you, did he? Did we not conduct ourselves in the same spirit and walk in the same steps? They changed conduct yourselves there. They changed the word walk. Did we not walk in the same or by the same Spirit is the best literal translation that you could get in this verse. Did we not walk by the same Spirit, in the same footsteps by the same Spirit? They have the first word, did we not walk, that's our verb peripateo. And in the same manner and by the same Spirit, okay? And this is the verse I was going to. I might have backed up a little too far, but the Word of God never comes back empty. So I feel for you because here we are, a big happy family at Spring Valley Bible Church, and many of you came to this church. I know I came to this church because I loved how Herman taught the Bible. I heard. 5 tapes of his when I was in the Army in Korea, and I said, when I get out of the Army, I'm going to Dallas, Texas. And that's exactly what I did. I moved to Dallas, Texas so that I could be a member of Spring Valley Bible Church and study the Word of God with Herman Maddox. And I know probably many of you have come to this church for that very same reason. And it can be a bit annoying and to not have that advantage now because of Herman's current condition. And I wanted this to encourage you a little bit that I and Kit and Chris when he got a chance to teach. We are walking in those steps. We are in those footsteps. We are teaching nothing but Christ sacrificed and the word and the work of the Spirit in your lives. That's what Herman has taught us. And you don't have to feel put out because you don't have Herman to tell you that now. You have God the Holy Spirit using some other big mouths to tell you, to remind you, to be grateful for your salvation and to walk in the power of His Spirit. And that's the thing that you can rest assured in, that God the Holy Spirit is going to teach you the same thing no matter what mouth he uses. As the old saying goes, he could use a rock and to be a better teacher than I am. And I tried that one time. I put a rock up here and I gave it a good 10 minutes. The rock didn't say anything, so I figured I was on, you know. So but God could do that if we were so inclined. He made the rock just like He made me. My head may be a little harder, but He made me too. And please remember that we are a local body as a part of the body of Christ. This is not the First Church of Herman Maddox. This is Spring Valley Bible Church, which is a Bible church that we might learn the Word of God and glorify our Savior. And we can continue to do that, and no matter what the circumstances, as long as God the Holy Spirit wants to use us. So we all walk in the same footsteps and by the same Spirit. There's another word for walk in the New Testament that only occurs once, and I think I did touch on this one a couple of weeks back, and it's a compound of peripateo. It's in peripateo, and that's the prefix in. It just becomes an M in the spelling here because of the P. But in peripateo means to walk in. And it's only, as I said, only used once in the New Testament, and it's in 2 Corinthians 6:16. Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. We are the temple of the living God. Just as God said to the Israelites, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's a quote from Leviticus 26:12, and it's I will walk in them, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them. Okay, God, the Holy Spirit, alive and well in the Old Testament, was there to endue believers as God needed them. They didn't have the permanent dwelling of God the Holy Spirit, but they did get granted the power of God the Holy Spirit for specific tasks. And Christ himself, the revealed member of the Godhead, was there as the Shekinah glory to lead the children of Israel in the wilderness and to give them instructions on how to take the land, as we're seeing quite eloquently put on Wednesday nights. This word only happens this one time, and it's a quote from the Old Testament that God wants to walk in you. And the reason why is to make you that temple. In the Old Testament, there was one place where God was present for people to come and have access to Him, and that was through the temple that He had built. And His presence dwelt in the temple. Now we are walking, living, breathing temples of God, and God the Holy Spirit is in us. And by that, we are His people. And that's just as in the Old Testament, the Israelites were the demonstration of the Creator, the power and existence of the Creator God to all the world. So we are in the church age. This church that we are a part of is empowered by God the Holy Spirit. And if the world doesn't see God through us, then the world does not see God at all. Okay? And so that perhaps in peripateo is the most powerful of all these words to walk. And it isn't us walking. Did you catch that? It's God walking in us, not us walking, right? Everything else we've seen about the conduct of our lives, this picture of walking to show our manner of living, that was all that was happening through us because of God. This word, in peripateo, is emphasizing the fact that it is God who is at work in us, and He has things to do. Okay? So, the couple of words that I haven't gotten to yet, let's see, we have, this was hard to say, it's got too many vowels in a row. Pereomai, to walk in Greek, also means to try or experience something, to traverse, to depart. It's most common, so it gets a lot of different translations as when we see it pop up, and it's used quite often. The most popular translation for it is go. Right? If you look at, remember Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. That's the imperative form of this, middle voice verb that I just said. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing, identifying them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I'm never going to read that verse again without pointing out that your job is to make disciples of them. The way you make them disciples is not just to save them, but to tell them about the work that God the Holy Spirit wants to do through them. To hopefully make them grateful for the gospel that they have received so that they'll want to glorify God. A disciple. How will they know they're my disciples, Christ said? They're going to demonstrate my love. And that's only going to happen through God the Holy Spirit. So, we've got a note as we talk about our walk and our walk in life and our walk in light that the dead also walk. Those who are not in life and in light. And we see Peter use this same word twice to describe the path of darkness. We see it the first time in 2 Peter 2:10. I'll read it for you. 2 Peter 2:10, and especially to those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority, daring, self-willed. They do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties. Sound familiar these days? These crowds of people that would defile a church, that would that despise authority, calling for the defunding of police, attacking courthouses, tearing down the collective history of us all. They have they're daring and self-willed, and they have no light in them. They aren't even afraid of God. Okay. And the word here that we translated, our word for walk, is indulge the flesh. What it is actually saying here is that they walk in the flesh. Just as we are in commanded to walk in the Spirit, Satan's plan is that they walk in the flesh. Okay? That's our, that word translated indulge, that's our Greek word, poreomai. Let's see. And also in 2 Peter 3:3, he says, know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come, and with their mocking following after their own lusts. Following after there is our verb. They are walking in their own lusts, literally. Okay? So that's two different ways that three ways that we see that word Greek verb translated, go, that one you'll see most often, and indulge the flesh, to follow after or walk in the flesh, and to follow after or walk in their own lusts. Okay? So, We've seen this dichotomy over the last 2 weeks with darkness and light, with life and death. You've got to choose which one you want to walk in. Volitional responsibility is the first thing that God gave man, right? He wants you to choose Him. He did not pre-program you to believe in Him. He wants you to believe in His work, in the work of His Son, and He wants you to choose Him every step you take, believers. This isn't about a one-time decision, although our salvation is a one-time decision. Our sanctification is day by day, and you have to make that volitional choice each and every day to walk in light and to walk in life and to be filled with His Spirit. So the final verb that we have here for walk is stoikeo. Stoikeo is probably the second most used one of these six verbs. And stoikeo is the word you would use if you were describing walking in formation, marching. Okay, that's stoikeo. And it's so directing one's life, just as the other metaphorical uses of this word walk we've seen, but also to go in order, right? To be a part of a formation. You learn, when you learn to march, right? When you're in formation, you take each step in a uniform manner that matches the person, all people all around you. You make every turn in the same foot pattern as everybody else around you. You march step by step, inch by inch, moving forward in unison with the people around you. Now, tell me, have you ever seen a parade with one person? We march as a formation. We march in a group. We march as a local body, and we have to be together to do that, not just online. It's important to study the Word of God. I'm glad you can study the Word of God and happy that we have the ability to provide you with that opportunity online. But for crying out loud, you're going to make a poor parade. Get together every once in a while. Let's see. So, stoikeo, to march. We see a great example of this in Romans 4:12. We're going to pick this up in 9. We're going to get 3 or 4 verses in this one, if you want to turn to Romans 4:12. Is this blessing then? And the blessing they're referring to, if you looked up, is the blessing of salvation. Okay? This blessing of salvation then on the circumcised or on the uncircumcised also. For we say faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. That's our picture of salvation, right? We believed and it was given to us. Righteousness was given to us, imputed to us. How then was it imputed? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised. Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had had while uncircumcised. So those who say that you can't be a Christian without being a part of Judaism, in this case, circumcision, but he's saying that the original act of faith that we see, that we're given, wasn't the original one, but the first act of faith that we're counted for here is done in his fallen state. He wasn't chosen yet. His circumcision was a sign that he was chosen, right? And that's the point. We have every ability to have faith and receive salvation as the first Jew did, right? As an uncircumcised man. A non-Jew. So he received the sign of a seal of righteousness of the faith which he had had while uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised. So just as the Jews would say Abraham is the father of them all, as the model of salvation, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you are saved. Abraham's the father of us too. That righteousness might be credited to them. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, the Jews, but also follow in the steps, march right along, according to the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. We march right along just as Abraham did. We believe and we are credited with the righteousness of God, and that's the basis of our relationship with him. In closing, a couple more verses here. Galatians 5:25. Two passages in Galatians. Galatians 5:25. If we stoikeo by the Spirit, or if we live by the Spirit, let us also stoikeo by the Spirit. Let's walk. Just same idea that we just saw with Abraham. We march right on forward in formation according to that standard that we came into the plan of God. We had faith, God worked, and we are benefited to His glory. And so we do the same thing. If we live by the Spirit, we also walk by the Spirit. Galatians 6:16, he says the same thing again. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God, who will walk by this rule of relying on God the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit. And finally, in Philippians 3:16, we were encouraged just a couple of weeks ago. Philippians 3:16, however, let us keep living. That's our verb stoikeo, marching, walking. Let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. How do we get where we are? By faith. Who did the work? God did. His Son did it, and now His Spirit does it. This is our walk. This is what we're commanded to do by the Word of God each and every day of our lives. This is the gratefulness in our heart we should have for the salvation that Christ has promised us. So grateful that we think of it every day, that we seek to learn His Word, that we may see His Word alive in our life. And that's the glorification of Him. You don't have to worry about much else. If you glorify Christ through the power of His Spirit, He's going to put the opportunities to spread His Word in your life, as long as you're not hiding at home. And, well, maybe if you hit a share button every once in a while, you can do a little something. But I hope that this study has brought to you some awareness of how far your salvation should go. You weren't just saved and you forget about it, or you set up a system of making yourself feel better because you study or because you work in some manner to please God. You're a nice person. You haven't hit your wife in 3 months that you've been to locked up with her. You know, we make weird standards for ourselves when we're trying to show that we are righteous before God. These are it's not our own righteousness. It's God's work in us. And we have to be aware. We have to make a decision for that righteousness to come about. Well, I hope you're encouraged in these words, and it's now time that we move into our phase of worship, the communion. And let's see, let me turn over here. If you are at home, I hope you've prepared a cracker or a piece of bread or something, and a sip of something. As we mentioned before, this is a test, right? This is a few moments that you have to do this in remembrance of your Lord and Savior. If you have no knowledge of Christ and what He's done for you, you're going to be bored for the next couple of minutes. But you don't have to eat one of these crackers, at least. These are not exciting crackers, I guarantee you. But I have about 200 of them in the closet back there. So you have to come and use these up within the next 3 months, I'm afraid. Let's see. So, our passage, of course, for the Eucharist is found in 1 Corinthians 11, 23. And we have two elements that we're about to partake of. The first is the bread, and we'll see it in the passage, but the bread represents the body of Christ. And the magnificent thing in this little piece of bread is that Christ took the bread and broke it on the night before on the night before he was to be crucified. And even knowing the pain of the cross that was coming, our Lord and Savior gave us something to do to help remember him by. We do this once a month. There's no rule that says we have to do it every day or every time we meet or any timetable on this. We just do it to remember him. And as we've just seen in our study of our walk, you know, you don't remember that you have to put one foot in front of the other every day, but you walk every day. Okay? You have to remember that Christ has saved you every day. You don't have to take this cup and this piece of bread, but you do have to remember. And now's the chance for you to think about how you're going to remember that in the coming month. And before we read the passage and eat our bread together, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we remember. We remember that your Son from eternity past made a volitional decision. He said he would come and save creation. He said that he would die the death on a cross to be the propitiation for our sinfulness. He said that he would give us his own righteousness because he's paid the penalty for our unrighteousness. Heavenly Father, we remember all these things as we hold this little piece of bread in our hands, preparing to accept it into our bodies as an act of faith, Heavenly Father, just as we accepted his magnificent work by faith. We pray, Heavenly Father, that this act of remembrance will be part of our lives for the next month until we do it again together. Amen. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, think about that, thanks that he could have this body to die on a cross. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Second element of our communion together is the cup. The cup represents a whole new deal. In the Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Spirit all the time. They didn't have the opportunity to glorify God that we have each and every day. Because of the power of God, the Holy Spirit, we have unprecedented power available to us. And we get to be the representation of God on this earth. And that's the thing we have to remember in this cup, that we have the power of God, a whole new deal, and we can glorify him through the work of the Spirit. Let's pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, how gracious is your plan that you would do all the work to save us, and that each and every day we can rely on you and your Spirit, and he's willing and able to do the work to glorify you. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit will work mightily among each of us individually. Bring to mind that power. Bring to mind the gratefulness that we have for our salvation. Bring to mind in us the work of our Savior, that we might take that glorious gospel and give it to others through his power. Amen. And when he had, in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are to have this moment to remember you, the magnificent, unbelievable work that you've done for us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're willing to do that work through us. And we pray that this little body would be able to do just that. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to remind us of your power in our lives. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would keep us safe and watch over us as we go through our week. And we pray you would be with us as we assemble on Wednesday night and as we come together next Sunday. We pray, Heavenly Father, that in between we might have the wisdom to seek your word a few times. We may pray that we might have the remembrance to rely on your Spirit each and every step as we walk through this life, that we might walk in light, in life, and in the power of your Spirit. We do ask all these things that our Lord and Savior might be glorified. Amen.